Hello, beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. Let's begin.
Donald Trump is talking about expanding his tyrannical takeover of cities across this country by sending in National Guards, more federal ICE agents, and possibly even using regular military in Chicago and Baltimore and New York City. He tries to justify this with his genocidal racist talk about caravans of criminals and decaying cities that need to be cleaned up with brute force and violence. This always in places that are predominantly black and brown. One of the ways you know this is just a straight up lie is the fact that it is actually his red state Republican led cities that are having the major increases in crime. And in places like Chicago and DC, crimes have been at a historic low or decline. Meanwhile, Trump has pardoned his Confederate flag-waving, noose-hanging Nazis who stormed the Capitol January 6th to try to carry out a coup for him. It's his ICE agents who have systematically violated the law and due process of law, abducting people off the street for being brown and putting them in detention camps without trial or due process. Trump and his old fascist regime are dyed-in-the-wool, white supremacist, genocidal racists who see the problem as not being able to use more violence against the black and brown people they see as less than human. But this is not a time for fear and cowering or bending the knee. This is a time for courageous, self-sacrificing struggle for the greater good of defeating Trump's MAGA fascism.
Welcome to the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Sansara Taylor, and you heard from Noche Diaz, a leader in the RevCom Core for the Emancipation of Humanity, at the opening of this show. We'll come back to what he's talking about. I want to introduce Annie, who's joining me in studio.
Very glad to be here, and welcome to everyone tuning in. This show is about an actual revolution, a revolution to overthrow this whole system of capitalism, imperialism, a system that has put a fascist regime in power, imperiling the whole world. And we base ourselves on the revolutionary leadership of Bob Avakian, who's brought forward the new communism. And you're going to hear from Bob Avakian throughout today's episode. And in particular, you're going to hear from him talking about the potential of the masses of people who are viciously beaten down, brutalized, oppressed, and demonized under this system and by this fascist regime.
All right. So before we start our episode, I should say Annie Day, and you brought some show and tell.
I did. Okay. So in Tuesday's New York Times, we have a very prominent article on the cover of the National Edition with an interview with Joey Johnson, who we had on last week's show, the notorious flag burner of Texas v. Johnson, who took the case of the right to burn the flag all the way to the Supreme Court and won that right in 1989. And because Trump is threatening to, through executive order, make flag burning illegal, Adam Liptak, who's a Supreme Court reporter of the New York Times, did a pretty prominent and in-depth and serious interview with Joey, where he talks about why he burned this flag. And he talks about the danger of what we're facing, fascism, not a curse word. People should go to the New York Times website, spread this, spread Joey's voice. And if you have a podcast or know someone with a podcast, this person's voice, Joey Johnson, a longtime revolutionary and internationalist, this voice needs to be out there in society in a big way.
And if you missed last week's interview that Annie did with Joey Johnson, you got to go to our channel and watch last week's show. I want to read what's on his flag. Imperialism, genocide and slavery, crimes against humanity, invasions, torture, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, right there on the U.S. flag in the New York Times, right on Joey Johnson. So we're going to talk about Donald Trump and what is happening with the accelerating fascism. And I want to use the words that Bob Avakian used to describe Donald Trump in a series he did a few years ago. Donald Trump is a genocidal racist. He's a genocidal racist. There's no other way to put it. And right now, as Donald Trump is saying and speaking that slavery wasn't really that bad.
President Trump is now ordering a review of the Smithsonian Museums, accusing the institutions of focusing too much on, quote, how bad slavery was.
As he is resurrecting and celebrating Confederate generals and renaming military bases after them.
Fort Pickett, Fort Hood, Fort Gordon, Fort Rucker, Fort Polk, Fort A.P. Hill, and Fort Robert E. Lee.
As he is preparing federal troops to go into on top of D.C. and Los Angeles, into Chicago next and other black cities with high concentrations of black people. He is really rubbing our faces in just how true it is that he is a genocidal racist. So we want to start today's episode with an illustration of a recent social media message from Bob Avakian, message Revolution 127, where BA gets into some of this.
Trump MAGA fascists demand a pardon for the racist cop who carried out the blatant and depraved murder of George Floyd. This is Bob Avakian, Revolution number 127. The deranged fascist lunatic Jack Posobiec ranted to a cheering crowd last December 2024 that, quote,
America will not be made whole until we receive justice for Derek Chauvin.
By justice, he means pardoning Chauvin, who was rightly convicted of cruelly murdering George Floyd. Chauvin is one of a very few cops who have actually been tried and convicted for this kind of blatant racist murder. Even though the police kill at least 1,000 people every year, and the number of black people killed by police since 1960 is more than the thousands who were lynched during the whole time of Jim Crow segregation following the Civil War. As I pointed out in my message number 113, the Trump MAGA fascists would have been on the side of the Confederacy in the Civil War, fighting to maintain and expand slavery. And after the defeat of the Confederacy in the Civil War, these Trump MAGA fascists would have been with the Ku Klux Klan in its repeated lynchings and other terror to reinforce open segregation and brutal discrimination. Just as these fascists say George Floyd deserved to have the life suffocated out of him by the heartless pig Derek Chauvin, and that thousands of other black people murdered by police deserve it too, they would have said that the black people who were lynched for 100 years after the Civil War deserve to be lynched. These MAGA fascists demanding justice for the cold-blooded racist murderer Derek Chauvin today are the direct political descendants of not only the lynch mobs, but also the crowds of white racists who regularly gathered in a carnival-like atmosphere to celebrate these lynchings, to tear off as souvenirs body parts of the lynched black man, and to make postcards of these lynchings, which were sent around the country. On the part of any decent person, there can be no compromise, no living with, and most definitely no active or passive collaborating with these ghoulish racists and the whole Trump MAGA fascist abomination. This fascist regime must go now. And black people have a crucial role in making this happen, acting in the best tradition of black struggle, mobilizing together with others in massive opposition to the overt racism of the Trump fascist regime and all the ways it tramples on basic rights and treats whole groups of people as less than human.
Donald Trump is a genocidal racist. Now, before I get into this, I want to take a minute and help you go over in your mind what Trump has already done. Trump has already militarily occupied Los Angeles and D.C., and he's getting ready to assault other cities. Trump has sent his masked ICE thugs out without badges to terrorize and disappear immigrants. Trump is responsible for women dying and for tens of thousands of women and girls being suffocated by forced motherhood for lack of abortion. Trump has dehumanized and demonized and erased trans people. Trump has put his science-denying, vaccine-denying lunatic, RFK Jr., in charge of healthcare, which we know already means that millions and millions of people all over this world are going to die. Trump has backed the monstrous and accelerating genocide in Gaza. He's boasted of turning Gaza into beachfront casinos for the wealthy. But as horrific as all of this is, and it is horrific, think about it in human terms. As horrific as all of this is, it is still just the beginning of the nightmare that Trump fascism is bringing to the people of the world if it is not driven from power. Here I want to take note of a particular pattern within Trump's crimes. When Trump is deploying the military against Democratic cities and governors, for example, he's also taking special vengeance against Black political figures. And he is unleashing brutal white supremacist genocidal violence against Black youth in particular. Let's get into it. Recently, Trump posted an AI-generated image of Obama being tackled by federal agents, shoved to the ground, and cuffed, perp walked and put behind bars in a jumpsuit. Now look, Obama was an imperialist ruler of this monstrous system who himself was responsible for enforcing the crimes of capitalism and imperialism, including blaming Black youth for their oppressed conditions, lecturing them to pull up their pants while ignoring the way this system has penned them in and stolen their futures. But this is not why Trump is going after him. This imagery of Obama being taken down and imprisoned is an expression of Trump's drive for vengeance against his political rivals, but it's a particular vendetta as well against a Black man who rose to be president and any Black man at all who stepped out of his place. It is a product of a sick, twisted, genocidal racist mind who glories in inflicting humiliation and suffering on Black people in general. And Trump's supporters love this. They love that Trump hates the same people they hate, or at least they aren't bothered by it, which ultimately has the same effect. Look, this is not new. Vicious racism has been a hallmark of Donald Trump going back to his racist discrimination in real estate, but also his taking out full-page ads to demand the death penalty for the Central Park Five. Five innocent, I repeat, innocent Black and Latino teenagers who were railroaded. Trump said it was not enough that they'd be wrongly imprisoned, stealing decades of their youth. He put his own money into full-page ads in the New York Times and elsewhere demanding, bring back the death penalty. He fought to get these innocent Black and brown children executed. And even after the Central Park Five were exonerated and cleared of all charges legally, Donald Trump said in his first term that they should still be in prison.
In a statement to CNN, Trump not only didn't apologize, but said they admitted they were guilty. The police doing the original investigation say they were guilty. The fact that the case was settled with so much evidence against them is outrageous.
They admitted their guilt. The city should never have settled that case.
A lot of people, including Mayor Bloomberg, agreed with me on the Central Park Five. They admitted, they said, they pled guilty.
Think about that. Or what about this? Who do you think Trump was talking about when he stood in front of the National Guard and the FBI and the police in D.C. and said, knock the hell out of them?
See, they fight back until you knock the hell out of them because it's the only language they understand.
Trump is openly calling for police brutality and abuse, and he's been doing it for a lifetime. Not long ago, he said that shoplifters, and everybody knew from the context of his speech that he was talking about Black people in particular, shoplifters should be shot on sight.
And we will immediately stop all of the pillaging and theft. Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store. Shot.
Not put on trial, not elevate the penalties after a trial, shot on sight. This is what Trump is greenlighting. Let's be clear, millions and millions of Black people already have had their lives destroyed and crushed by the massive epidemic of police terror, brutality, and mass incarceration across this country. But this is not enough for Trump. He wants to put this on steroids. Not only that, Trump has talked about deporting homegrowns to places like El Salvador.
I don't know what the laws are. We always have to obey the laws, but we also have homegrown criminals. I'd like to include them in the group of people to get them out of the country.
Yes, in this, he's talking about dissidents. He's talking about political opponents and rivals, disappearing them forever. He's talking about immigrants and brown-skinned people, whether they have papers or not. And he is definitely talking about black people. Why else do you think he and that idiot white supremacist sidekick of his, Pete Pig's Breath, are fighting so hard to bring back the Confederate monuments and to rename military bases after Confederate generals?
Thank God we're back to Fort Bragg. This is something we've been proud to do, something that's important for the morale of the Army, and those communities appreciate that we've returned it back to what it was.
Why is he insisting that U.S. chattel slavery was not that bad? U.S. chattel slavery, an institution where black people were branded with hot irons and whipped like beasts, where black people were forced to work from can't see in the morning to can't see at night, where black women were raped and raped and raped again and then forced to have their children ripped out of their arms and sold away at a profit to some plantation owner, and where black people generally were denied the right to read and brutally punished if they learned to read. All this was not so bad in Trump's view. Well, you don't say that's not so bad if you're not intending to bring that kind of back. Maybe not in that exact form, but maybe not that different. This must be stopped. Every decent person in this country has a responsibility to be part of defeating this fascism. This underscores the historic importance of the call that was recently initiated by RefuseFascism.org, which is open to all and must be taken up by millions and millions of people from diverse political perspectives for the fall of the Trump fascist regime. Beginning November 5th, the anniversary of Trump's re-election, the biggest nonviolent mass outpouring in U.S. history that does not stop until Trump has been driven from power. Here I want to return to Trump's particular venom against black people and how, as Bob Avakian recently put it, openly, aggressively enforcing white supremacy is a big part of the fascist rule of the Trump regime. Bob Avakian is the revolutionary leader who's forged a whole new framework for human emancipation, the new communism. Bob Avakian is also unparalleled in his analysis of the rise of fascism in this country and how it can be defeated. And Bob Avakian has a lifelong commitment to the liberation of black people. Anyone who wants to really understand what we're facing and what must be done about it needs to dig into Bob Avakian's work overall, and right now dig into his recent social media messages 130 and 131, where BA gets into how blatant racism and fascism, not fighting crime, is the real reason Trump is militarily occupying cities, and how, while crime is a real problem, fascism is not the answer to crime. Fascism is itself a monstrous crime. Let's listen to a passage of Bob Avakian's message 130.
Openly, aggressively enforcing white supremacy is a big part of the fascist rule of the Trump regime. And occupying cities like Washington, D.C., Chicago, and Baltimore is a big part of doing this. Yes, there is a problem of crime in these cities, but this is not about crime, and it is not a gimmick or a distraction, as a number of Democratic Party politicians keep insisting. This is about using the military against people in this country as a continuation and escalation of Trump's blatant racism and lawless tyranny overall. It is about the consolidation and enforcement of openly dictatorial fascist rule in the country as a whole. Recently, a retired U.S. Army Major General, Randy Manner, has spoken out against this, cutting to the heart of it in comparing what Trump is doing to what Hitler and the Nazis did in Germany in the 1930s. Mobilizing military forces under Trump's command as a show of force to anybody who opposes Trump. This is the same reason why Trump has established a rapid reaction force of soldiers prepared to move to any situation where Trump is determined to put down people opposing him. Any situation where he arbitrarily declares an emergency. Talk of fighting crime to justify the use of the military to occupy cities is just a means of carrying out even more blatant repression, unrestrained brutality and murder to which Black people and others have been subjected throughout the history of this country, and which the Trump fascist regime is determined to enforce without regard to and in flagrant violation of the Constitution and the rights of people that are supposed to be guaranteed in the Constitution. This is about going after Trump's enemies within the ruling class as well. As I have emphasized in Something Terrible or Something Truly Emancipating, also available at revcom.us, the Trump fascist regime is determined to gut and pervert the rule of law, trample on people's rights, and adopt what amounts to an undisguised capitalist dictatorship, ready to use violence not only against masses of people, but also against its rivals in the ruling class.
We open the show with Noche Diaz from the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. Now we want to go the rest of that social media message with his challenge to people in Chicago and across the country.
To those who thought that you could keep your head down and wait this out, get this in your heart and in your head. There is no living with these lunatic, tyrannical fascists. To those who told Black people to keep their heads down and sit this struggle out to avoid martial law and having even more repression come down on Black people, take a look. It has not slowed this down one bit. It has just helped pave the way for these rabid racist lunatics who are trying to impose their white supremacist Reich on all of us. And to those few bootlickers out there who are giving support and cover to Trump, the red hat MAGA loving African American ladies who Trump loves to prop up and brag about, you are a collaborator with this fascism. You are a traitor to the masses of oppressed. You are just helping give aid and support to those who want to unleash further hell on people who already catch the hardest hell under this system. Murdered by police, incarcerated for generations, set up on streets with no future except to fight and kill each other off. And anyone who actually gave a damn about those masses of people would be working to bring them together with others into the fight.
You've been hearing today about the utter illegitimacy of this whole fascist regime. One of the driving aspects of it is the terror being wrought on the masses of immigrants throughout the country, and in particular in LA. Earlier this week, Refuse Fascism for Labor Day held a protest where they showed some of the faces of the disappeared. And we want to show some of the voices of family members of people who, of the immigrants who've been kidnapped by ICE thugs.
We are here today in the presence of Los Desaparecidos, the disappeared. This 100-foot wide installation is not decoration. It is confrontation. It forces us to see what the regime wants erased and removed from this ethnically diverse country.
I am Ambrosio Lozano's niece. My uncle is a paletero man who was working on June 23rd in Culver City and was taken in unmarked vehicles by masked men. And he ended up here, where he was transferred to Texas, and now where he is being housed in New Mexico. We will not give up this fight. We will fight this through. The Trump administration needs to stop what they're doing. All of these people here have hearts. All of these people here are hardworking. All of these people weren't bothering anybody. And Trump and his administration wants to just come pick up people because of what they look like, not who they are, what have they done, no warrants. nothing. And I just truly feel that with the Trump administration gone, there can be some sort of change. And that's what I'm hoping for. And that's why I'm here supporting this cause. As you see all these people, look at all these people have families. It's not just me. It's not just my family going through it. It's a lot of families who are being ripped apart. And I just truly feel standing together and being together, fighting back, we can get this done.
So actually, I had seen a video. Somebody sent me a DM with the video of the projector on the side of the building.
What was that like when you saw that picture?
Heartbreaking, you know, because that's what it has to come to. You know, his picture on the side of the detention center. And even then, I feel like it's bringing awareness and it's showing and it's getting his picture out there. But, you know, what I think we all wish everybody who's, you know, families of all the people that are here is we just want our family member home. So he's the one that, for all my kids' birthday parties, he shows up with the free ice cream and he's just handing ice cream out at the parties, you know. And he's just such a good person. Like, there's nothing that I can say negatively about him that can say, like, otherwise, you know. And it's just, he's a really good person. We all love him very, very much. I think he has a bigger family. When I say that, it's just like where he worked at, Culver City. You know, they're just, so he watched everybody grow up, you know. Somebody reached out to me with a picture. It's like, oh, when my mom died, he let me push around his paletero cart, you know, like around the block a few times, and he gave him free ice cream. And, you know, like, they don't have money and they give him ice cream. And I just think that it just goes to show his true character, and I feel like everybody in my family knows it. Everybody in the community knows it. Anybody who's come across him knows that.
The faces in this work were collected in small-scale news reports and fundraising sites, sources that rarely make it into the national conversation. I use monarch butterflies throughout the installation to highlight migration. That migration isn't a crisis, it's part of nature, it's and part of being human. This project is about refusing silence, honoring memory, and humanizing the people this system tries to erase. Art won't save us, but it can make us see what really is happening and remind us we still have a choice. Speak up or stay silent.
Trump's fascist administration is going to continue to persecute people. He's putting the military on the ground so that it's normal. It should not be normal.
We're calling on all those people that have been courageously standing up, that have called and organized rapid response networks, that have been standing up in the face of all of these illegitimate attacks, that yes, have been filing lawsuits, that have been fighting this in many different ways, that unless and until we bring that resistance together, determined to stop this regime, all of our efforts, all of our righteous resistance will get swallowed up, because this is fascism and it must be defeated and it must be stopped. And it is up to the millions of people in this country, the organizations, the individuals that have been networking, organizing, mobilizing, to take up this call for November 5th in Washington, D.C. We have to overwhelm them.
The MAGA Party is a group of people, for the most part, that if you would start to look at them and do some research, there are the people who, guess what? If they had their way, I wouldn't be speaking today, because if they had their way, slavery would have never ended. And here, we're here to refuse the fascist regime, because slavery ended a long time ago, and we refuse to have slavery come back again.
In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Shut down ICE, no military occupation. Shut down the whole fascist regime, and Trump must go now.
The time has come for the fall of the fascist Trump regime.
Fascism. That's what we're facing, and it's accelerating. We've been driving this home to you in a number of different ways in today's episode. And there really is only one thing that measures up to the tremendous threat barreling, accelerating towards humanity. And that is the biggest mass nonviolent outpouring, mass mobilization and protest, determined protest and resistance in Washington, D.C. in the history of this country. The biggest sustained outpouring, millions and millions strong, converging on Washington, D.C. nonviolently and raising the demand, Trump must go now, and not stopping until his whole regime has been unseated, driven from power. RefuseFascism.org has initiated a call for this, beginning November 5th, on the anniversary of Trump's election. And this is a call that is open to and needs to be taken up by everybody, every decent person, every organization, every section of people throughout society, all at once, all together. This is our chance to defeat fascism. And so we really want to urge you to go to RefuseFascism.org and download the call for this, spread it, get the posters up all over the walls. And we want to highlight, here we got the poster. And we want to highlight that Refuse Fascism recently published on its website practical ways, 7 ways for you to get involved concretely in making your plans to be in D.C., organizing others to be there, helping raise money, helping meet the logistical needs, helping get the word out, working with other organizations. It's an all hands on deck moment. So go to the website, refusefascism.org, download the call, download the materials, spread them, and go to the page that shows you how to concretely start organizing.
So one of the big questions that we have to be grappling with is what's going to happen? How could things break in such a way where it actually is possible to drive this regime from power? And in a Refuse Fascism webinar last week, you spoke to this, there was a presentation and then a Q&A, and Coco Das from the editorial board of Refuse Fascism posed this question to you.
I want to read a section from the call for November 5th. It says the whole Trump fascist regime must be driven from power. This can be done by refusing to surrender the future and our humanity to a vengeful fascist maniac, by millions rising in massive, unrelenting, nonviolent protest and resistance, by defying and refusing to comply with fascist dictates, by walking out, by shutting down, by fearlessly using our platforms and influence to inspire and challenge others to join us. By doing all this day after day, coming back stronger in the face of attack and repression, uniting, not dividing, across many viewpoints and backgrounds, fostering a collective spirit of courage and righteous fury, willing to sacrifice for the greater good of defeating this fascism. And the reason I read that was there was a question about sacrifice and, you know, the risk of doing this, you know, as worthwhile as we think it is, you know, how do we prepare for that? And then there was a question of what if Trump declares martial law? So I thought we could take those questions on together.
The point of why we must do this is he's doing that. A lot of people say if you protest, you're going to provoke. He does not need a pretext. He is moving. This is in my presentation. And a lot of people said, oh, we know this, get to the plans. But actually, we need to confront this and its full implications, or else any plans we make are on a different foundation. If we are thinking, oh, if we do this, he might declare martial law, we're not confronting the reality. He is militarily occupying DC and Los Angeles still right now. And he is preparing to go into Chicago without pretext. You know, he's threatening New York and Oakland and many other places. He's saying, get used to this. You know, yesterday, Stephen Miller went on Fox television and said that the Democratic Party is an domestic extremist organization. These people are not stopping because we lay down. They are not stopping because we clear the streets and don't give them a provocation. They are bulldozing and they are going rapidly. And so our only chance, and humanity's only hope, is for us to rise to the challenge of going into the streets in such massive numbers. Not that they won't try to crush us, but in such massive numbers that it's difficult for them to do so. And such massive numbers that the fact that we have right on our side is so undeniable that if they try to come down with illegitimate repression, which yes, they will, and their crazies will do crazy things and dangerous things. But that's already happening. But we need such numbers and such righteous defiance and such joy and such morality in what we're doing and such disciplined nonviolence as well, that if they do this and when they do acts of repression, it further delegitimizes them and it further inspires others to come and stand with us. That is how every struggle has advanced. We do not want them to do it, but we wouldn't have to do what we have to do if they weren't committing crimes against humanity and preparing worse, then we wouldn't have to go out there with the risks it entails. But the idea that it's safer to lay low, it might be safer for you as an individual, but it's not safer for the immigrants in Alligator Alcatraz. It's not safer for the Black youth who are having their faces shoved in the pavement and being pressed with federal charges right now for having an open container on the street. It's not safer. You know, people say, oh, it's not safer. So we have to think about humanity. And it's not safer to lay low. It is safer if we all stand up. Then any sacrifice that entails and that ends up requiring, we have to have each other's backs. We have to build the unity and we have to turn all of it into a further advance on our side, because that's how every struggle goes. You get in a situation, and this is one that will be favorable to us. This is what we want. It's called the dictator's dilemma. It's a real thing. It's happened all over the world where you have such a massive popular uprising that the dictator has a dilemma. If I let it go, will people feel inspired and encouraged and it'll keep growing? Or do I try to crush it and scare people away? But if I try to crush it and it doesn't work and people come back stronger, then I look even more weak and vulnerable, and it inspires even more people to stand up. That dictator's dilemma is going to be one that we have to ride. But the way you ride that is you maintain that right is on our side. We conduct ourselves consistent with the world we're fighting for, which is one where people come together nonviolently and thrash out the future, where we have respect for people with different languages and skin colors and genders, where we respect the rule of law and defend the rights that are supposed to be enshrined in the U.S. Constitution, even for people who took an oath to the Constitution, and for people like me who don't believe in the U.S. Constitution and would like a different system. But as long as we are forced to live under this system, we're going to demand that the rights that are in the protections that are supposed to be inscribed in that Constitution are extended to everybody. We're going to come together and demand that and fight for that and make any sacrifice it takes from us redound to further growth and further inspiration. And the fact is, we celebrate the people, the John Lewis's of the world. We celebrate the people who put it on the line and brought down Jim Crow. We celebrate the people who sacrificed so that women won the right to vote. We celebrate the people who gave their lives in disproportionate numbers, Black people in the Civil War, to end the abomination of slavery. None of that happened without sacrifice. And the idea that we're going to defeat fascism on the cheap is illusion. And it's morally bankrupt illusion. But that doesn't mean we take sacrifice lightly. We don't. It actually is why we're saying we have to be nonviolent. It's why we're saying we need to be massive in our numbers. It's why we're saying that we're doing something that has a basis to succeed, because there are sections of the ruling class who don't like what's happening, who could be moved to act against it, but will not move without the compulsion from below. We're doing something that has a basis to succeed, and sitting down and laying down and playing it safe has no basis to succeed or to keep humanity safe. And it is a guarantee to give the future to a bunch of white supremacist, fascist, woman-hating, environment-destroying, science-denying terrorists of the planet. And we can't do that.
Thank you so much, Sansara. Coco, did you want to add anything?
No, I thought that was a very good answer. I mean, I guess the only thing I would add is there is a question of, you know, what kind of, who are we going to be? What we are being asked to become under this regime is unconscionable. And that is also part of the call. And so everyone, you know, has to ask themselves, every decent person has to ask themselves, what is required of me now? And, you know, how do I rise to that challenge? But, you know, I think there are more of us than there are of them. And in every movement where millions have driven out a hated regime, as you know, as Sansara was talking about the dictator's dilemma, people came back stronger and came back and came back, and the regime was not able to withstand that.
Sansara, I'm so glad you got asked that question, and I'm so glad you spoke to it in a way that I think really gives life for people to see the dynamics through which this regime actually could be driven from power. But it is a really big question, and it's one that everyone watching should be talking about with each other. What is the necessity? What are the problems that the fascist regime have in what they're trying to do? Where does our freedom lie, especially in calling forward the masses into this mobilization on November 5th? So one of the things we've been talking about on the show today is this vicious assault on Black masses, the white supremacy that's at the heart of this regime. And you hear Trump and you hear Homan just talk in the ugliest and most vicious ways about Black masses and Black youth in particular. Thugs, animals, criminals. And they're telling you what they think of the Black masses, who they really do see no future for under this system. They want to terrorize, they want to incarcerate, they want to slaughter. But we want to play now the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian, and the potential he sees in these same youth. This is from an interview that Sansara, you and Andy Z did with Bob Avakian in 2022. And he speaks to this pretty profoundly.
Well, you've led us right back to something we wanted to return to before wrapping up this interview, which is the tremendous potential that it's clear you see in those at the very bottom of society. Youth in particular, at the base of society, caught up catching the worst hell, the youth and others in the prisons, which you said the brother on the block or on the street, people who right now their guns are pointed at each other to way too large a degree. All of the vision of what you've described of what's possible to do with state power is not going to happen if we don't make a revolution. And yet this is a section of people who are very critical to the revolution we need. So I wanted to give you, and we wanted to give you one further opportunity to speak directly to those who are catching the worst hell and treated as the worst of the worst. What is their role in this revolution? And to those going out to them, how should we do this?
Well, I say there's both a personal dimension to this and a larger scientific dimension to it. I know that things have gone on for generations now. I mean, I know some people told us, well, you can't bring forward these youth. They might have been revolutionary once back in the day of the Black Panther Party or what, the 1960s. But there's been generation after generation caught up in this bad now, so there's no potential anymore. Yes, there is potential. And in one sense, it's exactly because they have been caught up in it generation after generation that there is potential. But you're not going to see it if you're just looking on the surface and what people are into. You have to go a little deeper with people. And I'll just introduce a personal dimension to this, which is very real for me. When I see, you know, and whenever I get a chance to interact, and I do sometimes with some of these youth you're talking about, I see people that I knew when I was coming up. Not that I was came out of the same place they did, but people that I knew, you know, and I know what their potential was. You know, I've talked about this before, I've written about it before. You know, I had a friend, Billy, who was got into the life and got killed, you know, while he's still in his 20s, caught up in a lot of bad and did bad, but also had a whole other side to him. Had a curious mind, a sharp mind, you know, had a lot of very good, you know, sentiments toward people, ways of relating to people. And, you know, you could not have told me that somebody like that couldn't be transformed to become a revolutionary because I knew better. And that's just a personal, and I knew other people in the same situation. I'm very fortunate to know people in this situation, you know, people who open their hearts to me the same way I did with them, you know, that's what it means to be friends. And you learn what's deeper beneath the surface of what's going on and why people are into the bad they're in. And, you know, how constricted, how limited and confined their lives are and their choices are, you know, in terms of how things are presented to them. And
And so that's like, on the basis of that personal experience, I don't care that generations have gone, I mean, I care, but it doesn't tell me because generations have gone on that these aren't basically the same people. They are the same people, you know, and when I interact with them, whenever I get a chance, and it's far too rare, but it's very precious, I know they're the same people. So that's on, like on the personal level, from personal experience, but more scientifically, you can analyze where do the actual interests of these youth lie? You know, look, I've spoken this before, look what it means when even for a brief time, people in this situation rise above this. And I mentioned this prisoner strike in Alabama, and people are talking about how they've overcome the divisions of gangs and cliques and this kind of thing. You know, it's not going to last because of the conditions they're in, but it's very significant and precious when it happens. Or, you know, I've made this point about the truces that followed, you know, the gang truces that followed the 1992, you know, L.A. rebellion, which really wasn't just L.A. rebellion. It spread around the country. And, you know, how hard people tried to overcome generations of divisions and back and forth revenge. You know, I mean, to me, one of the most inspiring and moving things I've seen in decades was the picture after the L.A. rebellion, you know, besides, you know, blacks and Mexicans tonight, together tonight with graffiti. You know, there is a picture of a Blood and a Crip with their arms around each other. And that wasn't just for show. That was something real and something deep. And they tried, they really tried to overcome this, and they put forward a program, but their program was just a program that had no basis, and it was also just actually mirroring this existing system. It was a program to establish more black businesses to enable some of these people caught up in the gangs to get into, you know, the economy by way of business and so on. And there's no material, there's no economic basis for that on a broad scale. And it wouldn't lead to the liberation of people either because, you know, a few people might get into business, but then, you know, most people can't. And plus the ones who do are going to be employing other people and exploiting them, whether they mean to or not. You know, but still, look how hard people tried. And there was a prisoner, you know, strike in California a number of years ago. The same kind of thing. Yeah, the gangs are still in there, and yeah, there's bad shit, but they rose up and overcame that for a short period of time. And that shows the potential, and it also shows that there's something deeper in people than what they're doing every day and what they're caught up in. That they you know, reach for something better, something higher. They want something different, you know, and if you get people away from what they're caught up in and talk to them heart to heart, they will tell you in many cases most people want something different, even if they're caught up in this and they don't know how to get out of it. And that's where we come in, the revolutionaries, the people who have come to understand that there's a whole different way. We have to go to these youth and others. Yes, we need to go to the educated youth. You're not going to make a revolution without people from the educated youth. That's very important for the revolution, including critical and creatively thinking people who have a capacity to, you know, work and grapple with complicated ideas. We need that. But your question is very much to the point about, you know, these more, you know, youth down on the street, you know, the hardcore youth, you know, there is burning within them because nobody wants to live the way these youth are being forced to live. You could take all of, maybe a few, you know, really into it, you know, and this is really their thing, but nobody, if you're talking about, I shouldn't say nobody, but overwhelmingly, people don't want to live the way people we're talking about are forced to live. But this system, we could go into why and how. You know, it deindustrialized a lot, you know, all these areas that people live in, you know, like the south side of Chicago used to be these factories and gigantic steel plant, U.S. Steel, that people used to work at. Gary, Indiana, which is now a ghost town, had the biggest steel plant in the entire world, I think, going back a few decades. And a lot of black people worked there. Those places are closed down. These youth coming up, they have no future. And that's because of the workings of this system. And there is a burning down there. It may be simmering. It may be just a flickering flame, but there is a burning for something better. And it is up to us to provide the vehicle and the means for all these masses of people in this situation, including these youth, to become part of fighting for something better. And yes, it goes back to the previous thing. We're not going to do it without a lot of struggle. You got to break through the surface. You got to break through the bullshit. You got to break through even the hardcore shit to get down to where people really live and feel. And then you got to struggle with them about what your life should really be all about. What is really worth dedicating your, and if necessary, even giving your life to? Not that we take that lightly. We certainly don't. You know, we understand that, you know, as Mao said, of all things in the world, people are most precious. And people's lives are precious to us. But even if you have to give your life, give it for something worthwhile, something that's going to mean something for you and people like you all over the world and for the little ones. And don't tell me you don't love the little ones. I see you out there pushing the little ones around. I see the pride that you have in the little ones. So don't tell me you don't care, because I know different and I know better. And there is a way, but we got to give people the way. And that means a tremendous amount of struggle. It's not just handing them away and they're going to take it. It's a tremendous amount of struggle. You know, and we have to also, especially in this rare time when revolution becomes more possible, we have to get right down on the ground with them and explain in terms they can understand, and then get in more into the complexities as we go along. But get to the basic thing that there is a way out of all this. And right now we have more opportunity than we've had in your lifetime or my lifetime to do this. And we can't afford to be wasting this time and this opportunity in bullshit. We got to get with this revolution so we can get all this shit off of our backs and make a future for the next little kids you're pushing along that's worth living for, so they don't have to go through what you are going through now, which isn't what you wanted to go through, but it's what the system has put you in the place of to have to go through. We have to go and present this to them in a living way. There is a way out of this. It's not an easy way. It's not a guaranteed way, but it's a real way. It's a real possibility, especially in this time when we're talking about where the conditions are more favorable for revolution, even as they're tending right now towards something terrible, with the ruling class divided and fighting each other, with society being ripped apart, with the potential for this to rip apart all the dominant institutions in society. You know, one of these youths said, well, you know, if I get with your revolution, my chances of being taken out are just about 100%. But if I do what I'm doing, going up against people like me, maybe my chances are 50-50. Well, that's just wrong, like I've said before. You know, it's wrong in terms of what your life should be about, and it's wrong in terms of, you know, the possibilities for revolution. Because we have a real strategy, and we have a real, you know, method to grapple with the problems that lie on the road to revolution and actually break through and gather more and more forces to where a revolutionary struggle for power could actually have a chance to win. And you can't ask for more than that. You can't ask for more than a chance to win to get this whole f***ing thing off your back. And this is what we're aiming for, and this is what we got to take to people and explain to them and struggle like hell with them about what speaks to their deeper feelings and hopes and aspirations, not just the shit they're caught up in on the surface. So I say, both from personal experience, which is limited, I know, but it tells me something, but also by scientific analysis and by learning from all different kinds of sources and getting every bit of knowledge I can, that there is a potential there. And we have to go and make that potential become a reality and struggle with people to become emancipators of humanity. And we start winning some, it's going to provide the basis to win more. And it's going to become a pole of attraction. And what people would really like to jump to will start getting expressed when they see a growing force out there that's real. And so this is my answer. We got to, you know, we have what these youth and the mass of people need, But it includes a lot of struggle with them, and we have to go and take that to them and wage that struggle, because this is for ending all the shit that they're being forced to go through, and all the shit that humanity is being put through and that they're threatened with now, with the destruction of the environment and this danger of nuclear war among these imperialists. We have to go to the people and give them the means to do what deep down they would love to do if they could understand scientifically that there's a basis for it. So that's what I would say.
So for very good reason, one of the kickers on the title of that interview from 2022 with Bob Avakian is called Heart and Soul, Hardcore for Revolution. And you see the humanity, the heart, the fire for revolution, and the tremendous depth of connection that Bob Avakian has with the most exploited and oppressed, and on a scientific foundation, but also in a personal way, the potential he sees in the Black masses of people and other exploited and oppressed in particular.
Yeah, people should watch that full interview. I've been going back to clips. It's at youtube.com/therevcoms. Mm-hmm. It's linked on Bob Avakian's YouTube channel at Bob Avakian Official. And continue to get into his social media messages. This is how people are going to be trained to understand the world as it actually is, through all the noise and distortion and confusion, to be able to take up a scientific method and see the world scientifically, the way that Bob Avakian sees it and the way he's bringing alive for you to take up this scientific method yourself.
Yeah, precisely so we can change it in an emancipating way. And that's so urgent now, up against the Trump fascism that needs to be defeated and driven from power. And it's also on the deeper level of the need for revolution. So connect with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity to get organized into this revolution. Connect with refusefascism.org to be part of the broad forces uniting all who can be united to take up the November 5th mass mobilization to launch the driving out of this regime and bring everybody from different perspectives into that. And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/therevcoms, and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
Was die Attentäter betrifft, die in Berlin den Anschlag auf die deutsch-arabische Gesellschaft verübt haben, ist die Polizei einen Schritt weiter gekommen. Der nach dem Anschlag
they sentenced me to 20 years of boredom for trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming to reward them.